This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves with TK. I am here with the woman who knows everyone.
Oh god.
Alexa Motherforking Losey.
Hello. People of TK's Hello. Podcast.
Welcome.
You may have remembered me when I was a teenager.
You know what, Alexa? And I don't want you to take this the wrong way because it truly is a compliment. You're kind of like the Meryl Streep of YouTube. In the best way.
Where are my streamies?
No. Where are my streamies? No, but like you really did pave a way for nice. So many females and males in the space. And what I love about you is how good you are with people. Like that's something I admire so much.
Thank
I think
you.
That you're like exactly how you are on camera and off camera, which is pretty rare. And you just, I'm so envious of your network. And it's just like a testament to who you are as a person. People love having you around.
Well, my network is your network, okay? That's all I can say. That's really nice.
I will say, I've taken advantage of it sometimes.
I said there's very few people that I will, like, very much do anything for, and you are one of, like, probably the five people.
I'm so honored.
I've told you that endlessly.
I know. You're so sweet. I feel like you're my, like, cool, like, older mentor that takes... You're not even that much older than me. You're not even that much older than me.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Yeah, dude, you're, like, acting like I'm, like, 40.
I know, but you're, like...
I'm 26, dude.
You're just so, like... I feel like you're so much more mature than me.
I told you what this is. It's a trauma response. It has nothing to do with maturity. I wasn't nurtured at certain points of my life, okay? It's why,
okay.
You know, it's why you just need to feel your feelings.
Feel your feelings. Okay, so Alexa, give us the elevator pitch for someone that may not know you for some reason.
Okay.
I want to know how you got to where you are, why you're so passionate about mental health and all the things.
Okay, so me, I started YouTube when I was 16 years old. It was before it was like really anything. And if you were a girl on YouTube, you did makeup. If you were a boy, you did like gaming. So I
that
you
is
know,
so true.
Totally. There makeup. Was no in between.
That
was makeup.
I didn't get into because I wasn't into makeup. That's why
I wasn't either.
Okay.
At all. So I was like the one that was bad at it. That like
got
I
it.
Think I was kind of I don't want to be like this person, but I was one of the kind of people that was like, oh, there's this lifestyle element to it. Like I would wear my school uniforms and like style
no, like
them.
You
and
were.
Like did a lot of haul videos. Like Bethany Mota and Juicy Star were definitely like above me, but then I kind of like was like, oh, I love that.
Yeah,
like,
Juicy Star was the first girl I ever watched.
Yeah, me too. And it's so crazy that we ended up being neighbors and friends, but that's beside the point. So started YouTube when I was a teenager, and then kind of just like, I think like as YouTube grew and there was kind of more space for girls to just be themselves, kind of leaned into that without even really realizing it. And then just kind of, I feel like became this like weird Tumblr fanfic girl and really found like this like new weird, it just for me, it was really natural. And then the whole time, like making YouTube videos but also like trying to work in TV and film, so I feel like people that followed me kind of just were more interested in like my life overall than just like my content that I made, because I really wasn't somebody that was like pumping out content with like millions and millions of views. I was just like doing me the whole time.
So you were living your life and kind of sharing little elements, and it really was a response to the audience.
Totally.
That was like wanting more.
Yeah, kind of. I've always been like that though. I've never been someone that's like thought about producing
like strategic.
It's always been like not even strategic. I think if anything it's like the opposite. Like I think I'm a self-sabotager and I've like shot myself in the foot. Like truly, like I don't know how many people, I mean this sounds like egotistical, that have been like, oh my god, you could have been so much bigger online, and I was like, I think I would have collapsed. So then my breaking point that I think I got like a new audience was I basically went to a psychiatric hospital when I was 17, and that was kind of a response of like the pressure of being a young YouTuber before it was respected, and also just like a lot of other psychological stuff that I was dealing with at home and in school and whatever. And then ultimately kind of had to come to terms with that as an older adult. And that was kind of like peak content creation. And I was also being like tied to these random guys that had a lot of tension. So it was just a really weird space. And one day I was like, I'm going to talk about my experience. I'm going to talk about mental health. And no one was also doing that. So I was very much like alone in that realm. And now I'm happy.
It was not trendy when you started talking about
it. No, it was before 13 Reasons. It was before people talked about having anxiety. And like no one was talking about being in a psych ward.
It was before the merch.
Totally.
All merch is mental health related now.
We've talked about that. I mean, I'm happy Mad Happy donates and that's like part of their whole thing. So then I kind of like leaned into this more mental health space and then became like this mental health lifestyle influencer and then disappeared off the face of the earth for 3 years because I needed to go take care of my mental health. So that's me. People might remember me from being younger. They might remember me being attached to certain random boys that I never dated that people thought I dated. Might remember me from like my secret Tumblr. Like, I don't know. I've been here and there and done all the things, disappeared and come back. And now I think I'm kind of just in this space where I really love the little community that I have. And that's where I am now.
Are from Laguna?
Yeah, I'm from Laguna Beach.
That's iconic.
Come whenever you want. I'll show you around.
I would love that, actually.
Yeah, we should have a day.
We should have a girly day. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Anyway, Alexa, I want to talk to you about, what do you mean? First of all, what was your first YouTuber name again?
Smokey Pink Leopard.
Smokey Pink Leopard, yeah. Iconic. And that's your TikTok name, right?
No, I changed it. People were like, I don't know, who are you? Like, it was Smokey Pink Leopard.
But why was it that?
Because I was like, I thought it was fun. Like, it was when I didn't think TikTok was like real.
I'm talking about like when you made the YouTube. Like, I love old YouTuber. Because Alicia's was Mac Baby 11.
Oh, you think
and,
I
like,
forgot?
Juicy Star 07.
Steal like, a Babe 09. Like, yeah. I could go on everybody's. What, Maddie was Madison Rose Beauty 1.
Whoa.
Her middle name isn't Rose. It's Jamie.
It's Jamie exposing it's Jamie. Maddie Bragg.
Oh, She talks about it. Yeah, everyone had like a weird name. No, for me, I like don't like numbers and names.
Oh.
It really drove me crazy. So I was like, okay. I loved the Pink Leopard bronzer from Too Faced. It was like everything to me. And that's when smoky eyes were like the thing.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, like it was all in my makeup table and I was like, Smokey Pink Leopard. That's cool.
That's iconic.
Yeah.
Can you please recreate a TikTok of you doing like a Smokey Pink Leopard eye look? And like act like you're like back in the day, like showing.
Wait.
That's such a good like TikTok.
At first I was like, wait, and then I was like, no, if I redid.
And you like pretended, like make your old background.
Oh my God. My parents sold that house though.
Well, you can just, like, recreate it, kind of. You
know? It was my little brother's, like, green bathroom.
Love it.
Isn't that weird?
It's so weird. It's weird that, like, you were probably, you didn't even think about the background when you filmed that. And now it's, like, iconic.
It's so funny. I have this friend, Dana, and she's a hilarious comedian. She goes by Hottest Dana. Uh-huh. She's unbelievable. But she was, like, she has so many clear memories of my YouTube channel when I was a teenager. And she, like, came to me once. She was, like, I have this memory of, like, people saying that, like, you were lying about your size. And your mom came in the room and was, like, Alexa's very petite. Stop coming for her. She's short. Like, she is this size. And, like, she was, like, I just have all of these memories of, like, people, like, body shaming you as a teenager. And the fact that, like, I forgot about all this, Dana remembers it. But she vividly remembers the layout of my house. She knew my brother's names. Like, it was weird that we became friends, but I was like her Twitter fan.
Incredible.
And so she was like, okay, yeah. And now we're just friends. Well, and now
everyone,
I'm obsessed
like, kind of watches everyone.
Yeah. I have people that I'm like a fan of that I don't like, I never want to meet them.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know who they are.
Everyone
too.
Knows who they are. Yeah. Yeah.
Was watching their vlogs this morning. I don't want to ever meet them.
Yeah. It's just like that sometimes. Sometimes it ruins it when you meet them.
Do you know how mad I am that like TikTok was this place for me to be a consumer of just content and I could be a fan? But all of these people watched me growing up on the internet. So then I see that it's like your friend. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
You were supposed to be inaccessible. Sorry, I'm like screaming into the mic.
No, exactly. I get that.
So frustrated. You were supposed to be inaccessible. Why is the girl that's talking about like PR, Robin, that's like PR moves I'd make for Emma Chamberlain?
Uh-huh.
Why did I have a hold on you?
Yeah.
The girl Maddie White, who does all of the little like sewing outfits and the slow-mo.
Amazing.
Followed me and I was like, damn it. This is not what I wanted.
Yeah. I haven't had nearly as many of those experiences as I'm sure because everyone like knows who you are or watched you at one point or another. But for me, I've had a few like really big TikTokers that'll be like, holy shit, like I listened to your podcast when I was about to go to fashion school or shit like that.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, that is crazy. Because, like, when they were watching, I was not big at all. So, like, I'm like, damn, like, that's crazy that, like, my little title about fashion school, like, actually helped someone.
Dude, also, like, you know? I think you're selling yourself short. Like, no, I think, like, so many people were like, I don't, like want to get into the influencer space, but now it's just, like, such a thing where it's, like, you either have to know someone or it's literally, like, being bad. Like, when I started YouTube, it was like, you can do it. Thanks to TikTok, it's kind of different.
Yeah.
But, like, I think you were really, like, an example of, like, hey, I worked really, really hard. I was really innovative because you didn't just work hard. You, like, came with all of your, I admire you so much.
Thank you.
Like, you are literally a shining example of, like, no, stop it. Stop laughing, accept the compliment.
Stop laughing.
You're like a shining example of like what everyone like if you TK it out, it happens. You know what I mean?
Thank you. That means a lot. And I think it's true. Like there are a lot of practical tips that now I think creators that have already blown up, they don't even know what to tell you.
Yeah.
To do, to like get to where they are.
Yeah.
And I want to be that. I don't want to gatekeep like ideas or like or things that I did to help get to where I am. Like I'm all about, I guess, sharing the wealth. And I think everyone has a seat at the table because like I'm still trying to get to the big table. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think there is a seat for me one day. And I don't know. I think there are a lot of practical tips and tricks people can do to help, you know, work their way into the space, whether it's behind the scenes, in front of the camera, or both. I had so many people tell me, they're like, you can't do both.
Yeah,
you can. I'm like, that's what this whole world is doing totally. Both, like being in front and behind. So anyway, Alexa, back to you. Okay. Talk to me about, however open you are, I want to know about your experience briefly, like going to the hospital when you're so young.
Yeah.
And why that is such... Well, obviously, it makes sense why those it's such a pivotal thing in your life. But why are you so comfortable talking about it now?
I mean, it happened almost 10 years ago, which is so crazy to think.
And because, you had your YouTube channel?
Yeah. So I was already on YouTube for a year and a half before I went to the hospital. And I probably had like 70,000 followers. So it wasn't like it was anything crazy. But back then, that was a really big deal. But I had a secret Tumblr that was like the third. It was the eighth most followed Tumblr account. Yeah, it didn't have my name on it. It was just like things I had written, things I had reposted. So it was also like that wasn't anything, but there was like guru gossip. And then on top of it, it really wasn't YouTube that sent me there because I don't want anyone to like get that misconception. Like I had a lot of things in my childhood that were really, really challenging. Mm-hmm. And despite growing up in Laguna, whatever. And I would just like always put a lot of pressure on myself. So one day I was in school and I was like an IB student. I had like an insane GPA. I was like set to go to like an Ivy League school. And I like looked at my teacher and I like walked in the hallway, screamed in the hallway and like got in my car and like drove to the hospital. I had like done research.
Shut up.
No, I like went myself. Like I checked myself in.
No way.
I had done my research. I knew where accepted my health insurance. I knew kind of like what facilities were better. So I got really lucky in that sense, but I also researched. And
wait, so at the time too, I don't want to, I'm just ignorant to all this. So don't take offense if I say something wrong way. Does a mental hospital at that time accept insurance? For instance, with my therapist, they're like, it's weird to find a therapist that accepts your insurance.
Yeah, mine doesn't. I pay out of pocket.
Yes, same. So I was just wondering like how does that work?
So it kind of just depends. Like I went to an actual hospital. There's other facilities. Like I almost went to another facility the year before that. So obviously I'd been dealing with stuff for a while. And that was a place in Malibu that was like, you lived there in like a house. And like Demi Lovato would come and speak. Like it was more of like the frou-frou. Not to say that there like isn't as much struggle there. But it was like the one that was like, okay, that's where celebrities sent their kids.
Yeah.
It was in Malibu. You went to the beach. A lot of kids like whatever. They don't take health insurance, obviously, at all. You're paying hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands of dollars to send your kids there. Where I went, I did a lot of research. It was a university hospital.
Uh-huh.
So I think the reason why they accepted health insurance was because it was like there was a lot of med students there, which I felt bad because we really like forked with the med students like all the time because we like knew they were like young and we could like
get them
to like, we would be like, I did this last night. And they were like, we would like scare them.
Oh, my God.
It's like our hobby. But yeah, where I went, because it was like a real hospital, they accepted health insurance for a certain amount of time.
And then when you were there, like, were you posting on YouTube or obviously
so
not?
I for a while wasn't.
Okay.
And then I was able to come home on the weekends.
Oh, you were. So
and
you were there
making videos.
Shut up.
Yeah.
So you're like, wait, so were your videos, did anyone know?
No, of course not.
Oh my gosh. And how much did you feel like that helped you at that time?
Honestly, I wish I would have just, like, taken a year off and, like, focused on...
Of what?
YouTube.
Oh, of YouTube.
I don't know. Because then again, it's like, you never know. Like, I'm like, if I didn't take the time off, I wouldn't have met, like, Rebecca and the O2L people, which I feel like they made me really love YouTube again. So I don't know. They gave me like a different, like once I kind of got out of the hospital and like that was really where I like found my people right after. I think it gave me like a lot of insight to realize that like me being in high school, I ended up leaving high school early and like really focusing on YouTube and like making new friends. And it's when I like started making friends with like all my friends that lived in London and like all of my LA friends, like all the O2L kids. I don't know if anyone knows what like our second life is. It was, I think, when I like kind of like people kind of discovered me a little bit more.
Uh-huh. Well, an O2L, correct me if I'm wrong, was the OG Team 10.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to come and say that Team 10 was the first content house, I will literally fight for O2L until I die. Like, those people are just
Yeah, what did amazing. You think when Jake tweeted? He was like, I invented.
Oh, I tweeted him back and was like, oh, sir, you are mistaken. The lovely folks over at O2L, they are the
Did he respond?
OG. No, of course not.
Got it. Do you ever wish that you started YouTube later in life? Do you ever think you started it too early? Like for mental health reasons?
Yeah. Honestly, if I, like, I don't want to say I would take it back at all. Because it's like, that's been my life. And that's mm-hmm. been like, what, 10 years of whatever. Part of me wishes I would have just gone to the school that I got accepted at, I got accepted to and would have had that experience.
What do you mean got accepted to?
I got into a school that I'd always wanted to go to.
You got into your dream school.
My dream school.
And then you were like, oh, I'm getting all these opportunities with YouTube. I'm
yeah,
go to LA.
In LA. And then like I applied to schools in LA and got into my like my second dream school was UCLA. I didn't get into UCLA, but I got into USC. Mm. And so I like looked at what debt looked like and was like, I'm not going to do this. So I went from like getting into my dream school to going to community college online and pursuing YouTube, which was also like a really humbling because I was like a huge academic my entire life. I had a 4.7 GPA in high school and like near perfect SAT score.
Oh, wow.
I've been bookish since I was, like, a kid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, part of me wishes I would have done that, and it would have just been a very different life. And then part of me is, like, I wouldn't have traded this for anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have traded being a teenager, because, honestly, I feel like it was, like, my escape from the weird upbringing that I had.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, looking back on it, I wouldn't have traded it for anything, because it got me out.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about your iconic video to all the boys I loved. That's the title, right?
Yeah.
How did that is like what I see, like that type of artsy YouTube video is what I see for you just even now. Like I could see you like coming up with like a cool, not like scripted scene, but like a little like outline and making it really artsy and cinematic and stuff. Like I could see you doing that type of stuff now. And I guess what made you want to leave that chat or that video up on your channel? Because you've deleted like hella.
I've deleted like all of them.
Did you delete them or private?
They're private.
Okay, thank God.
No, I didn't delete them. I think it was just a thing where I was like looking back on my channel and was like, this is so not a representation of what I was like at that time in my life.
Of what you were like.
Of what I was like. I just think like most of the videos weren't like, I don't think I wasn't myself, but they just weren't what I wanted to make. So I only kept up the videos that I was excited about making. And that video, first of all, Smashbox spent $100,000 on that video.
Wait, shut up.
Yeah, Smashbox gave me a budget and I wrote with our director and the producer. Those were my poems that I had just written because I was like always writing stuff. I still write
stuff. Because you are a writer at heart.
Yeah. So those were just things that I wrote and we kind of like worked on them together.
Wait,
and then
$100,000?
Yeah, $100,000. We had like...
Did you pitch the video to them or did they come to you?
I pitched wanting to work with them, and then they were like, well, do you want to do, like, a makeup tutorial, whatever? Because I guess Patrick Starr had done, like, this like, crazy symphony, whatever. It might not have been $100,000. It might have been, like, $60,000.
You know what? Patrick is known for doing, like, insane production.
I know my video was iconic. More expensive.
Yeah, yours was?
Mine was.
I'm sure.
And so it was a gift from Smashbox to me, basically. They were like, we filmed it at Smashbox Studios. The director is, like, unbelievably talented. The producer had done a million things. She'd like worked on like a bunch of Cameron Crowe's movies, who he's like one of my favorite directors. So it was just like the team was crazy. That's why everyone's like, how did you do this? I'm like, literally the most talented people in Hollywood and $100,000 and a, you know, 25 person crew. Like it wasn't like a chill video.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah, we shot it on an Arri or Arri Alexa and what red did we shoot on? A Scarlett. Like we shot it top cameras. Everyone was like everything. Like it was a whole thing. It was like a 4-day
show. And how old were you?
I was 21.
Wow. So you were just really proud of that video.
I was really proud of it.
Are you contractually obligated to keep it up?
No. It was a gift. I can do whatever I want with it. Wow. But we worked in post. Like I was in the post production with them. Like it was a whole, like as I drove up here, I was like, oh, the post production building was like right near this. We're recording this.
Uh-huh. Were you so happy with the way it performed?
I didn't really care how it performed, to be honest. But it was, it's more cool to me that, like, there's people that I respect as artists mm-hmm. and I respect as talent or producers or writers that were like, I remember that video you made. Like, I have a friend that's a poet who I, like, admire beyond. And she was like, I actually, like, I know who you are because I saw this video that you wrote and it was really beautiful.
That video actually lives rent-free in my head.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Like, when I'm, like, going through it, I go back and watch that video.
So I'm doing a new one soon. But it looks completely different.
But here's
I don't have $100,000 to spend on it.
I was just about to say, Alexa, like, please make video. You are such a visionary and you're such a, like, a director and writer at heart. Like, please, like, use your talent.
Thank you. I don't really, it's funny because it's like, I think last year I kind of, like, said goodbye to working in TV and film. Mm-hmm. I just realized I'm not happy. But I can do it on my own terms now.
Which is way better anyway. Yeah. Like, I think that you're so not the type of person anyway to, like, listen to what, like, an old white dude says and, like, puts you in a box. Like, you're so, like, if someone tells me no, like, the Kris Jenner quote, like, you're talking to the wrong person.
Totally.
And I don't know. I think that you were, like, that is such a pocket in YouTube that's missing, like, that cinematic, like, storytelling but still relatable artsy Tumblr girl, like, especially with all the MGK, like, grunge, like, coming back. Like, this is your time.
It's just expensive.
Yeah, but you can do it without a crazy budget.
Like, yes and no. It's really hard to pull off, but I'll try. Yeah. You're inspiring
me. I think also
me.
Though pretend like, you know, when you fly first class and then you go back and you're like, I'm never flying economy again. Like, you've experienced first class in the film world.
Oh,
you
need to, like, I've experienced private jet in the film world.
Yes, exactly. So, like, you need to, like, come back.
I need to go from G6 to 65G as a content creator. Yes. Seat 65G.
No, but think, like, I feel like the passenger in 65G is sometimes who makes the best work.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. I mean, that's why you look back at, like, musicians and you're like, oh my God, they're early stuff.
Yeah, they're early stuff.
They're vintage music.
Yes.
So maybe I need to come back to my, like, 2014, you know, totally. YouTube renaissance self.
I was just thinking about this. I was listening to Carrie Underwood on the way home. It was really late last night. And I was driving home. I don't know why. I was like, Stagecoach. And then I, like, started listening to Carrie Underwood. And I was going through her top songs on Spotify. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of them I didn't know. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, Carrie Underwood, her new stuff, I don't know. And I literally thought in my head, I was like, oh, it's probably just because she's, like, you know, rich and famous and, like, you know, doesn't have, like, inspiring stuff to write about anymore. Like, that's literally what I thought in my head. Which, no tea, no shade to Carrie Underwood. Like, good on you. Like, love your legs, literally. but anyway, I just think that, go back to.
It's also crazy because I realize I kind of got less creative the more I, like, started working in traditional Hollywood.
That makes sense to me. Like, you're so limited.
I don't think I talk about it a lot, but when I was 20, I sold 2 scripts. And so I was working in, like, full-fledged. Like, I forgot that I did it.
Okay.
Because it was so long ago.
I have to pause you. We're going to go to a break, but I want to come back to this in a sec.
I'm like, wait.
We'll come back to this after the break. Thanks for watching, guys. Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Thank you.
All right, you guys, we are back and we are going to hear about Alexa's amazing two scripts that she sold she was like a baby.
But that was a fluke because I sold two scripts and then I didn't sell another one until I was 26.
So?
And then they all got shelved, so there's nothing to show. But that's Hollywood. But it was crazy because it's like it went, I started feeling like really uninspired with YouTube when I was around like all these like old white men that would like that would be like, oh, that's cute. Like you made, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
All these people like, but there's you know, 500,000 people that watch each video you make. Well, there's, you know, 5 million that watch the show.
Have you ever thought about writing for YouTubers?
No, I don't think so.
Why?
What do you mean writing for YouTubers?
Like, I know there's a lot of like comedy YouTubers that hire writers for like bits and script or bits in their videos.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's like some YouTubers out there that would have a great or that you would have a great writing style for.
I don't like I really love writing, but I don't really think I'm good at like more like I don't really think I would be a good staff writer, if that makes sense.
Oh,
like,
I see.
I think I'm better at like coming up with like ideas and concepts. And honestly, I kind of see myself leaning more into like the startup world and more of like building out actual product and kind of building out like more like I don't really even have who knows, I might like change my mind tomorrow. But I don't really have a desire to work in TV and film anymore.
Yeah.
Even like I was writing a book, the script I got back from that I sold and I was going to write it as a book and I started writing it and I just like sat in front of it for like 3 months and was like, I don't want to tell this story. Like it doesn't, I don't, it will only harm me to like dig this up again and like relive this. And it was like basically essentially my story of like when I was 17. And that was also weird to like talk about like my time in the hospital and have like 8 different writers rewrite it and pitch it back to me. Bizarre. And then flesh it out with another writer was also two writers was like very, very, very weird and wanting to hear like, I don't know. It's just the thing where I'm like, I'm just so sick of people having stories that are so personal. So if I was to go back and write again, it would be something that was like completely fictional, which I'm also not good at doing. I've always written from like personal experiences. So
You like stories that are too personal?
Because
for
when you,
you,
well, when you bring them to Hollywood, everyone changes everything about them.
Got it.
So they glamorize it, they sexualize it, they do, like, it's just, it's not yours. And that's, like, part of it. That's, like, you know you don't get to keep what you make ever. It's, like, once you sell it, it's theirs. But then you're, like, well, that's my story, and now my character isn't me, and that character, like, that character was this, and now you made them this, and that was a real person to me, and I don't know.
It's weird when you wrote it personally, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's then like even the book, so it was like if I wanted to keep it really true to myself, I would have had to self-publish it, which is also just like
a nightmare.
Yeah.
Are there any films out there that you know of where the actual film itself rings true to what the writer wrote?
Almost Famous, which is a Cameron Crowe movie. It's based on his actual story.
Okay,
and he directs
I need to watch
and he wrote
that.
It.
I haven't seen that.
Perks of Being a Wallflower is really special because the writer of the book also directed the movie.
Oh!
Yeah. And then
I did not know that.
Bo Burnham, who's a YouTuber, did 8th grade. And that movie was like so true.
Wait,
to
I need
me,
to see that.
Because it's like an 8th grader that's like aspiring to be a YouTuber. And she like makes all these videos in her bedroom. And like literally there's like
how
an Olivia Jade cameo. I don't know. It's amazing. And I met the girl that played the lead girl at a party and I like had to stop her. Like I never
knew. Wait,
that.
Olivia Jade's in it?
Olivia Jade's video plays in it.
Whoa.
It's kind of amazing. But the
that
movies,
is crazy.
It's great. And so those are some that I feel like have done a really good job of like staying true and authentic to.
Wow, I love that.
Off the top of my head.
I need to watch those. Those are some good resources. 20. At 20, when you sold those two scripts, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah,
do.
But then it was remarkable and I thought it was normal and it was a fluke. And it was like crazy because it's like, I also felt like for a period of time when I took time off of YouTube, I was like, wow, I was remarkable when I was 20 and now I'm 24 and I haven't done what I've done as a teenager and as like a young 20-year-old. So it also like wasn't really great.
Messes with your
psyche.
Head. Oh my gosh, we'll talk about that in a sec. But that is remarkable that you did that. Do you think that is a testament to your writing, two, your insane people skills and network?
Yeah.
Or a mix of both?
It was all my network. I was not a good writer at all. I think I was a really good, I've always been really good at like pitching myself and pitching things.
Yeah.
And like having imposter syndrome, but I've always had the like little white man inside of me that's like, oh, no, give me the money. Give me what you need. Like I've always been good at pitching myself.
Well, okay. Love that. Do you, what tip, are there any like tangible tips someone can take from that? Like how do you pitch yourself well?
Think about like those. You've seen them in the workplace. Those like guys that literally have no skills, that are so privileged, that have like barely passed a like really like barely made it through college.
That's how F-boys are with dating.
Exactly.
If you haven't done shit.
Imagine like a work F-boy. You can put that inside of yourself and be like, hey, Chad, I deserve this. Hi, Chad. Help me fight for what I believe. Help me fight for what I need. Because there's nothing like a Chad out there. Chad's getting the promotion. Chad's getting what Chad wants. Chad's dad owns the company. Yeah. Like, I don't know. You just got to like lean in on that and be like, whatever. And then when you're like, you know, like a little like 5'3" blonde girl and you're like, we should do this. People are kind of like, okay, like if you can talk like Chad.
Yeah. So you think you really have to like exude Chad confidence?
Yeah. And I think like the most important thing too is like literally be nice to everyone.
Uh-huh.
Do not treat anybody differently. Like my dad's an entrepreneur and he like really instilled a couple things in me. And his like thing that he would always tell me was like, you treat the doorman and the CEO the exact same way. The same respect.
Love that.
And it's crazy because now I think about like all these people that were like interns at all these companies. That, like,
me.
But you know that like influencers would like disregard, like they'd be the one checking them in at the door or whatever, like not realizing who they were. And then now they're the ones in charge of like who gets the brand deals.
Yeah.
And there's people that are like, you were really nice to me when you were 20 and I was the intern of whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bring you a brand deal that's worth more than you are kind of thing. And I'm like, yeah, you know, being nice gave me a little bit more.
So that's something your dad taught you.
Yeah, my dad always taught me that. And my mom also is just like from the Midwest and like lovely and kind to everyone. And a couple other things like I've always gone into before like a meeting is he always says like it's never as good as you hope, but it's never as bad as you fear.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
Who's that quote
it's
from?
Not. My dad would just say it growing
okay,
up.
Okay, it's never as good as you hope.
It's never as good as you hope, but it's never as bad as you fear.
That's me every New Year's.
Because it's the thing where it's like you go into these meetings and you get like so attached to the outcome of like, oh my God, I'm going to pitch the script. It's going to be a huge movie. It's going to change my life. It's the next Stranger Things. It's the next whatever. And it's like odds are network's never even going to pick it up. But at least you like sold a script and you like made a stride and like you worked in like I was even like my old production office was in Santa Monica and I was driving past it the other day and I was like, oh my God, the fact that I was like 20 years old and I would go into these meetings and we had these whiteboards and I was like, would draw all over it, building worlds, and all these people that were like top dogs in Hollywood were just listening was like crazy. And I'm almost done, but there's one more book.
No, please.
It's a play too. It's called The Curious Case of the Dog, Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
Okay.
It's a British book. I don't want to spoil it because I'm going to spoil it. Sorry.
Okay, spoil it.
So it's this kid with autism that goes through this really traumatic thing and everyone's accusing him of like killing this dog in the middle of the night, whatever. But he has been told he can't do everything his whole life. So he's like, if I can find my dad, his dad lives in London. He lives like far.
Mm-hmm.
All of this stuff happens on his journey to London and like something happens where his dad was like, how did you make it here? Or I'm doing a really bad job of explaining this. At the end, he was like, if I could make it to London and I could find you without even knowing where you live, with knowing nothing, I can do anything. And it, like, hit me when I saw this play. It was like, if you can do, like, once when I was like, I literally did that. If I can do that, I can do literally anything.
Yeah.
And then I think of, like, oh, if I made it out of the mental hospital and, like, you know, if I was able to, like, get that help for myself, like, I can, it's literally just building confidence and, like, actually doing it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to start with selling a script. It doesn't have to start with anything. It was like, oh, I decided, like, I needed to do that. And I did it. So the fact that I did that, I can do anything.
Yeah. I love that.
I don't know.
One time someone told me they were, like, You're looking at this end crazy goal. Let's say it's like, you know, buying a house or something crazy, whatever. We see it as not a tangible thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, but actually look back at all the things you've done and look at how big that like journey was. And you accomplished that. And it does. It's like just like that play. Like it really does help remind yourself or like, you know, give you a little confidence boost that you can reach that crazy over the hill goal.
Totally. Or, you know, that TikTok thing that's like, ooh, what a time to be alive.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm in my early 20s living in LA. I'm so hot.
Yes.
I have lived in my own apartment.
Yes.
It's like, look at like right now, like we're in this podcast studio. That's amazing.
I know. I need to pinch myself more.
Exactly. Actually. And it's like, okay, cool. Like you don't have a house. Like everyone I started YouTube with has multiple houses at this point. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm nothing. I didn't buy a house. But I'm like, that's actually a really, really small way to look at things.
It is.
Like I wake up in the morning. I have a beautiful apartment. I have a beautiful cat. I have literally the greatest friends. I have everything I could ever need. And like, what else do I want?
Also, you have like a doorman security. Like you don't have to like call someone to come get the trash.
No.
Being a homeowner is like, after seeing like a lot of my friends be homeowners, I'm like, not for me yet.
I kind of don't want to do that until I get married.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds bad. But
no,
like,
I see it. I get that completely. Anyway, you are just like a brain. I wish I want to have you on the podcast like all the time so I can just ask you whatever question I want.
Just call me.
Okay. Call you me. Are a beast at networking. I think you're one of the best networkers literally in the world.
I honestly would say I am fantastic at it.
You are, yes.
It is my superhero, my superpower.
It is your secret sauce, and yeah. I believe it is a bit of my secret sauce as well, and it's probably why I have so much respect for you. So I want to ask, what are some tangible things and tips you can give to someone that's like, I suck at networking, and also to someone that is maybe not as outgoing as you, or, you know, I always get questions. They're like, oh, I'm such an introvert. Like, I'm just not naturally outgoing. Like, how do you network when you're like that? What are your like golden tips that you tell everyone? And then what are the tips you tell that someone that is like always at home and they don't want to go out? They're an introvert.
I am, especially when I was younger, I feel like now I have someone where I could be like, hey, can you introduce me to this person or that person? Especially being in the space that we're in. Like, if there's a CEO I want to talk to, it's like I kind of can know, like, if I want to get feedback from it, whatever.
Do you ask people, like, do you think that's a good tip to ask someone to introduce
all
you?
All the time. And I'm always happy to return the favor.
Okay. So how do you do that?
I'll just, like, straight up ask. Like, that's the thing. Most people want to help other people. And I learned that very early on. Like, I have a couple mentors that are,
so
like,
true.
Literally some of the most brilliant people in the world, truly. I don't even, like, talk about how, like, fabulous they are. And they've introduced me to a million people. But I remember I was, like, turning to, like, one of my mentors one day. And I was, like, I don't know if it's because I was just, like, always an outgoing kid or whatever. And they literally told me, they're, like, you could cold email somebody and, like, figure out how to get there. And, like, people just genuinely want to help.
Yeah. Like, if you don't ask, it's a no.
Totally. If you don't ask, it's a no. But it's also like, I would even say like TikTok is now a great resource for like networking, as weird as that sounds. Like, if you want to work with somebody, make them a video. Like, put the work in, make the video, do
yes.
it. It's better than a cold email at this point. Because even if you want to cold email it, like, do you know Flexi Lexi? She wanted to work at Summer Fridays. And
no.
she like made this elaborate, beautiful video. I saw it scrolling my Explore page, didn't know, was able to send it over and was like, hey, I found this. And it's like, that's also a great way to network. And then the girl.
I've done that before. I've seen someone's TikTok. Yeah. They want to work for the company and I send it to the person I know at the company. I've done
right?
that too.
Because then you're, because you want to help.
We're such networkers.
But also
like,
you inherently want to help somebody yes. that you can see is putting
yes.
that work in.
But the TikTok, that's so smart.
But that's why I was like a Clubhouse girl for a while. Because
yes,
I would
same.
Love. So Clubhouse was this app that like for a period of time, like every CEO was on.
Yeah.
And so I would just follow every CEO and like hop in the room and then make friends with other people on the app to get them to moderate me. And then I would just keep raising my hand and asking the CEO questions uh-huh. until ultimately they were like, here's my email or here's my number. Call me. You're being annoying
yeah.
and like, disrupting everybody.
We missed the mark by like a week because Alexa and I were talking about having like a recurring room.
Yeah.
And we were going to do it. But the thing is like once the panty was like,
over.
You know, over. And dying.
Clubhouse
like,
died with it.
Yeah. We are, but people don't get on Clubhouse anymore, really, right?
No.
As much.
Which is good for me because I was a toxic Clubhouser.
But like, what a great resource.
But we also were doing it to like help people network.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So continue. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
I would
you.
Say, honestly, we live in a world where you can literally access anybody. If you want to work for somebody, make them a video. If like, I mean, that's the thing too. I always was saying cold email, cold DM, whatever. But it's like, I also even get emails. People are like, if you ever need an assistant, whatever. If somebody made me a video and was like, I want to work for you, Alexa Losi, I would be like, I'm not hiring right now, but like, let's figure it out. I'll find you another job. Like, I'll see what, like, I mean, you want to help people that like put the work in.
Yeah.
And I remember there was like a girl, Abby from Glamglow.
Yes.
And I was like, Abby, if there was a brand new content creator and they really wanted to work for Glamglow, what would work for you? And I was like, this is what I would do if I was a brand new content creator, didn't have a following, wanted to eventually get paid from you. I would reach out and say, hey, Abby, found your info on LinkedIn. I understand. I feel like you're the person to go to. If not, can you point me in the right direction? I love Glamglow. These are my favorite products. I want to make this, 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 and this content with this, 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 and that. Would you be willing to send over some product? And then from there, ask for like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you do have to put the initial work into like either spending time on the video and making it really special.
Mm-hmm.
I want to like send you the link so you can put it in the show notes of
yes.
like Lexi's video.
I would love that.
Oh, her name's Alexa. She's great.
Oh my God, amazing.
But just that, like taking the extra step, like everyone, it's so easy to send a DM to a million different people,
uh-huh.
but it's like, be specific of what you want,
uh-huh.
be very clear where you want to work, who you want to connect with, and like, do it.
It is funny, almost sending a DM now is almost too easy. It's
yeah.
like, first it was like cold email, now, mm-hmm. and then it was like, oh, just DM. And now it's like, no, make a video.
Make a video.
Or make a, you know, make a blog for the blogger. Make what you can provide value to for mm-hmm. the creator, who it is. That's what I think.
Yeah, right? I do too. And like, be like, this is what I can do. Like, yeah. I even had a graphic designer come to me and they were like, hey, this would look great on your banner. What do you think about this? If you have any notes, would you want to collaborate on this? Like, this is my rate, but I'll lower it to whatever because I really, you're somebody that I see the value in working with.
Totally.
And if you can refer me to other people. And I was like, that is so cool. I'm going to pay you your full rate uh-huh. because you're worthy of it. Uh-huh. And I would pay anyone their full rate. I'm not taking a discounted yeah. rate for talent. Also, like, creators don't ever do that. Pay people what they're worth.
Uh-huh. Agreed.
But it was just like, I don't know, it was one of those things. Or even just like, there's been a couple of people that have come up to me at parties, just knowing who the players are, like knowing, like, there was a girl that came up to me and she was like, you're Alexa Losey, you know everybody, this is what I want to do, do you know anyone? Came up to me at a party.
Hot.
And it was another creator's assistant. Uh-huh. And I was like, I haven't made content in a long time, so you've just been on the platforms, kind of seeing uh-huh. who interacts with whatever. Uh-huh. And I was like, you are smart. Uh-huh. You are a good networker uh-huh. and I will help you. Uh-huh. Just stuff like that. And I would also say for anyone that's introverted, start, like, talking to cashiers at Trader Joe's. Start, like, networking with local people.
I love
Start becoming a regular places. Like, when I'm really feeling, I'm not introverted at all. I'm, like, a 10 out of, like, extroverted. Uh-huh. But I always tell people, like, talk to strangers and, like, ask the cashier how their day is.
That is such a good tip.
Whatever. And people at Trader Joe's are mm-hmm. so nice. So just go to Trader Joe's.
Yeah, Trader Joe's are so nice.
Go to Trader Joe's. True. Go to Erewhon. Go to the coffee shop.
With you.
They will flirt with you, but just like getting comfortable talking to people like that, yeah. asking them questions. Like eventually, I don't know, one of my friends, one of my mentees' friends asked me, like, I really want to do this. What do I do? And I'm like, you provide your services for free or discounted. You reach out to people that you admire and you're very specific as to who you want to connect with. There's even been like lunches that I've like been dying. Like Bobby Brown has been one of my icons forever. Uh-huh. I went to this lunch knowing that Bobby Brown would be there. Uh-huh. I emailed the people that were doing the seating chart and I was like, I emailed them. I go, I've been wanting to pick Bobby's brain for years. I need to meet her. Can you please seat me next to Bobby?
Shut up.
Seat me near Bobby. They sat me directly across in the entire lunch. I just was like, she was sitting across from me.
That is genius.
Her like point of contact was sitting like across, and like both of them, I just talked to them the entire lunch.
That is incredible. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, okay, cool. I've been known this PR girl forever. I've built a relationship with her. I like her. She's great. Knowing like, hey,
you
who's in charge
okay
of this?
You knew it was okay to ask.
Even if it wasn't, I would have anyway.
Okay. That's what I want to ask you though. I feel like there is a line.
Yeah.
When, you know, you, like, have worked, and then you can, it's okay to ask for a mm-hmm. favor or whatever. I do think there is something to that. So how do you go about that? Like, when do you know it's the right time and place to ask someone for a favor or a good question or, you know, for them to help you or to network? Like, how did you know that was okay? Obviously, like, you've built an amazing reputation and things like that. But, like, for someone that has nothing to them. Like, how do you, what's the line?
So for me, I'm just like genuinely love getting to know people. Mm-hmm. I genuinely love like poking fun at myself. I love like getting to know like little things about people. I think people are absolutely fascinating. I've been that way my entire life. And I think literally everyone has every human is living their own vivid experience and their own vivid life. Mm-hmm. Everyone has cool insight to give. Everyone is like interesting. And I think anyone that's also like naturally attracted to like wanting to work in like either influence or whatever, like we mm-hmm. obviously have things in common. Mm-hmm. So it's like once I feel like I know that person and like I'm like, okay, if I know who your kids are, if I know like if I follow you on Instagram, if I whatever, like we have a friendship or we have this like at least kind acquaintanceship mm-hmm. that like I just don't really feel uncomfortable asking a lot of people. There's certain people that I'm like, oh, I don't know that person at all. Like I feel weird. But for the most part, I'm like, I feel like I either know your coworkers or I have a relationship somewhere along the line.
You
that I'm
find
like
a common
okay
denominator.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of this, have you ever had experiences, because I have, where mm-hmm. you're doing your thing, you're in your groove, like you're being nice, you have your secret sauce, you're about to ask them with a really good question, and then mm-hmm. they just don't respond well?
Yeah.
Or how do you deal with that?
Move on.
You just don't take it.
Do you know how many people there are too? It's like if you are, I'm not saying I'm perfect.
Like they're weird.
I've been unprofessional a handful of times in my life. I've done things that are weird a handful of times in my life, as we all have, but I'm not going to sit here being like, I'm a perfect networker. I'm perfect talent. Yeah. I'm a perfect entrepreneur. Like no way. But like, I think you just have to realize that like if you did something weird, like apologize for it. move on. Like, even something random happened recently where I was like, oh, like, wasn't the best move on my end. And I was like, hey, I just want to be, like, fully honest. Like, that was weird. I'm apologizing, whatever. And
wait, I love that, though.
And they were also like, yeah, it was a little weird, but, like, don't worry about it. Like, we're all good. And I'm like, yeah, they're, like, or even, like, recently, like, I had to cancel on something last minute. And I was like, okay, like, I'm realizing I'm canceling last minute. I think just realizing that, like, what somebody else does is equally as valid as, like, the energy that you put into something, too. Being aware of people's time and their effort, I think, if as long as you're, like, doing that, I don't really think there's a way to, like, be, as long as you know that you've always respected somebody else's time.
Acknowledging it.
Totally. I'm not doing a good job. Wait, can you repeat the question so I can?
I was just asking, like, when someone, let's say you go up to, like, someone you've really admired. Let's say it's, like, Miley Cyrus, Reese Witherspoon, someone like that. And you go up to them and you're, like, you're doing your routine. Like, you're being super outgoing, super charming. You have your secret sauce. You have a really good question. Yeah. They respond well to the first question. And then you keep going. And then let's say they get weird.
Yeah.
They're like, just weird. Oh, okay. I don't know how to describe it. And they kind of make you feel weird now. Or like, you're not worthy of their time and stuff like that. How do you deal with people like that? Because that happens a lot to myself. And just that's how the industry works sometimes. People are weird.
So a couple things. You always have to remember that, like, the way that somebody treats you. Okay, first thing I would say is always, like, you have to have the awareness of, like, knowing who you're going up to. And I think as long as you can respect everyone's time and kind of, like, it, not that there's, like, a hierarchy, but there is in a room. Like, if I was going to go up to Reese Witherspoon at a party, I better have a really good question.
Yeah.
I better be asking something pressing. Because the fact that Reese Witherspoon is at that party, she's going to be there for 30 minutes max. She went there to support this. Like, she goes for a reason. Uh-huh. Reese Witherspoon's not trying to network with anybody. Reese Witherspoon is, like, either paying her respects
or
supporting someone or has an obligation to
be there.
Or is getting paid. Like, yeah, like, she's not there to, like, talk to me.
Yeah.
Like, if I do have an opportunity to, like, talk to Reese Witherspoon, you best believe I'm going in there with my best foot forward, and I know what I'm gonna say as quickly as possible. Like, literally, like, when I used to do stuff, like, for, like, more, like, politically court, like, if I was when I was talking to Hillary Clinton, I knew what I was gonna say to her.
Yeah,
I was very clear that, like, she has literally built this career, so, like, my career is here, Hillary's is here. Like her time is worth more than mine by I can't even say that. Like, that's ridiculous. But it's like, okay. Yeah, you just have to have respect for other people's careers and their time. And everyone's time is, like, valuable and whatever. But it's, like, being very concise and clear and just knowing that certain people aren't there to, like, help. Like, certain people, they want to help you, but they're also, like, you don't go up to Reese Witherspoon.
Yes.
You make a friend that knows Reese Witherspoon and eventually is like, hey, I have a specific thing I'm asking of Reese.
So there is a little bit of strategy behind approaching people.
I mean, if you, like back in the day when I was pitching stuff, I was like, oh, I want to go pitch at Reese Witherspoon's production company. It's like, you are like, okay, am I going to, like, use this moment of being like, oh, do I get a picture with Reese? Or do I, like, say, like, I wonder who works at her company that I could connect to or that I could also help?
Yes.
Can you ask the question one more time? I'm doing a really, really bad job.
No, you're doing great.
Okay.
I was just asking, if you were to approach someone and it was a big time person and they respond weird.
Okay. They respond weird.
They don't respond how you would want them to or, like, even better. It feels weird now.
Okay.
And you're like, shoot, should I have said that? Did I overstep a boundary? You know what I mean? You're doing your thing.
Okay.
And it went a little, the convo got weird. How do you deal with that? Sometimes I will say, I feel like it's you maybe.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's us, but sometimes it's just on that. And maybe they're, like, having a bad day or it's weird. Like, how do you deal with that?
I mean, a lot of it is, like, emotional intelligence on both people's end.
Okay.
Like, being able to read the room and be like, okay, this person is here for 20 minutes and they want to network. And that's kind of – or they don't want to network. They're here for an obligation. Okay, yeah, you don't go up to them and bother them right then and there.
Got it.
You're not like, oh, hey, what's up? Check this out that I'm doing. Like, they don't care. They don't want to be there in the first place.
So knowing time and place.
Knowing time and place, being able to kind of gauge. Like, if you know anyone that knows them, maybe whatever. Maybe they're in the mood to make friends. Maybe they're not. Whatever. But I think also, like, realizing that, like, the way that somebody treats you is never is always a reflection of them and not of you.
Oh, love that.
But it's like, you don't know. Let's say you're approaching Reese Witherspoon at a party. Like, she could be having the worst day ever.
Yeah.
And then you come up and you're like, Reese, I wrote the script. Do you want to read it? And she's like, no, that's the last thing I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going through X, Y, and Z. Like, this happened. Of course, she's going to be polite. But I think, like, being able to realize that someone's not receptive, that's when you just go, thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Yeah.
And that's it. I think if it's weird, you go, thank you so much for talking to me. I really, really admire you.
Don't take it personally.
Whatever. Don't take it personally ever. And just be gracious for the time.
Got it. I love that. Speaking of people that are sometimes weird in the big, you know, celebrity world.
The influencer world.
Yeah. In the influencer world. Let's talk about your incredible influencer encounters after the break. So, Alexa, just tell me about your influencer encounters and how that came to fruition on TikTok. Explain what it is.
Sheesh. Sheesh. What's up? I basically live with a TikToker. Sarah!
I want to meet her.
Oh, come over. Okay. She lives like a floor away from
me. She does?
Yeah, she's like my sister.
Oh my God, she's adorable. Have you guys known each other forever?
No. Sarah, I'm her friend, and this is really hard for me to try to say her last name. It's not doing it right. Ishagraday.
Oh, wow. Gorgeous.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It means big house in Spanish. And I like brag about her all the time because she's like my little.
Did you guys meet in the building?
No, so I was scrolling on TikTok and I was like, this girl's so talented. She makes all those amazing acting TikToks.
Oh.
And then I went to her Instagram and I saw that she followed me. And so I messaged her and I was like, you have a really special light about you.
Wait, what? I didn't know she was a TikToker.
Yeah, she's huge on TikTok.
Oh my God, I need to follow.
Sarah's like 7 million followers on TikTok.
Oh my God, I just thought she was like your bestie, and I was like, I want to be besties with her.
Yeah, no, she's crushes it on TikTok.
Okay,
so I saw her on my For You page, and I was like, she's just like, I need to know this girl. And so I DM'd her, and I was like, hey, I don't know where you live, but like, here's my number if you want to like FaceTime soon, and we can like talk. And she was like, I followed you for a long time, and I was like, well, I just want to let you know, like, I'm here if you want me to. There's a couple like younger girls that are on TikTok that I'm like, if you have contracts, send them to me. If you're confused, ask me. Like, I've been doing this for 10 years.
Love that.
And she was like, I'm in LA in a couple weeks. So we went for dinner and just hit it off. And she was 19 and I'm 26. And she's just like my little sister that I never had. And when she moved to LA, I'm like so protective of her. I was like, you're moving to my building.
Adorable.
So now, we're together all the time. She's literally her.
I need to meet her.
You need. Her sister and I are close. Her mom and I are close. Like, she's the best.
Adorable.
I got so lucky.
So, did she tell you to do influencer encounters?
No. Okay. But she teaches me TikTok things.
Oh, okay, copy.
So the, sheesh. Like, I didn't know what it meant. And she'll walk into my house, be like, sheesh. I'm like, oh my God, thank God.
I got invited to my first ever brand trip by myself. It was a benefit one. I was like screaming, crying, throwing up, freaking out.
That's also TikTok.
And I literally, like, I was the girl on the trip that was like telling all the like benefit like employees and people that work for them, which by the way, they're the coolest people ever.
I'm sure.
They literally were all like the whole trip. I was like, "Gee!" And they're like, "Oh my God, this new girl." But I know. Sometimes you got to be the one.
Did Jared do your brows?
Jared did do my brows. Yeah. He is the king of brows and also just like king of my heart.
I love him. He does my brows too. Yeah. I can see a Jared Bailey brow.
Your brows are great.
You have great brows.
Anyway,
as well.
Continue. Influencer encounters.
I mean, this is, I feel like, why I am in the recent days loved and feared by influencers. I have people that come up to me that are like, I'm scared of you. I have other people that come up to me that are like, why you changed my life? And all the people that are scared of me are the lovely influencers, and all the ones that are like, these are so good, are the horrible ones.
Dead.
Oh my God, I had an influencer encounter the other day that I haven't shared.
Okay,
sure. I feel bad because it came from a really good place.
But I want to hear it.
But I mean, yeah, all the new creators that I have been befriending lately have all been TikTokers, and they're people that, like, you know, we become mutuals like a whole influencer TikTok culture or whatever. And TikTok girl came up to me and we were talking, whatever. And I was like saying something. She was like, so what do you, like, her friend was like, so what do you do? And I was like, oh, I make like videos talking about like my encounters with YouTubers. And I was like, I feel like at this point, like, I'm running out of material and I probably need to like switch. Like, I'm like, I need to do something that's not so much on other people on TikTok and like find myself there. And she was like, well, it seems like it worked out for you. You got invited to Aloe House. And I was like,
I'm dead.
It came from like such a good place, but I was like, I know I'm not like the sheesh, but like, sis, I've been around for a while.
Oh, congrats. You know what? I've never been invited to Aloe House.
Oh, I can bring you with me.
No, I need to work my way up on TikTok.
Yeah, you need to work your way up on TikTok. No, but I feel bad telling you because it came from a really like pure nice spot. And it was also extremely humbling.
Yeah, that is hilarious. Okay, but give me your like best one. What's your favorite one? Or I guess we could talk about the one that happened to me.
Let's talk about the one that I stole.
Yeah.
Well, you provided.
Yes. So
I'll Venmo you the my creator fund.
Yeah, my creator.
The $1 I made from the video.
Yeah, the 50 cents. So I have a gazillion influencer encounters.
Basically, probably more than I do.
Influencers, I need to start like writing them down and sending them to you because I feel like I get a lot of them because I work for a big influencer. And so it's like Sometimes people are awesome, and most of the time people are really nice to me. And, you know, especially because I work for someone they really respect. Like, it's just inevitable. When you meet someone through a friend, it's like you're nice to them. Sometimes, though, I just get the juicy stuff about how influencers actually are sometimes, you know? Not everyone's great. But there are a lot of awesome people in the space. And this particular, I went to a gifting suite. It was like my first time. It's my first time at a gifting suite. Because I'm new to this. I really am.
And in my mind, you're like a massive influencer.
No, but like I started.
You are.
I started posting on my YouTube channel like during the panty.
And you fucking crushed it. But forking crush.
No, it's okay. I cuss sometimes on here. Okay. It's fine. So it was my first gifting suite, and I was like so nervous. I like took so much time to get ready, and Alicia, I like begged her to go with me because sometimes she'll like have someone go for her, you know, she's a busy gal. And so my boss, Alicia Marie, was like, oh, we'll go together, whatever. You know, we split the Uber code. They give her like a heftier Uber gift card than me. So I'm like, we're going to go in your black. And we like show up, and it was my first time, and I was so excited. I just couldn't believe that you could like, basically they invite influencers to a showroom where you can pick out clothes that you want, so in hopes that you post it and tag the brands and stuff. And sometimes, like, for people of my size, they're like, okay, in order, if you take this, you have to post a story.
Or nothing in this world is free.
yeah. No such thing as free lunch. So anyway, sometimes in my case, they'll be like, oh, you know, TK, you get 3 items here and you have to post a story. Alicia, you get 7 items and you don't have to post, or whatever. It just depends on your size, which is totally, I get it, you know? I actually prefer it when people are blunt instead of like acting like it's fair, because it's just like, it's not. So anyway, I'm going, I'm picking up myself. I'm so excited. I'm like such a hoe for free anything.
Love it. I love free shit.
Well, also like I like love clothes and just like items, and like I love materialistic things. Like I love trying new things.
Are you a Taurus?
No.
Do you have Taurus in your
chart? I'm a Cancer. No. I'm a Cancer rising and moon. Is that what it is? Sag.
You're a Sag?
That's my rising and moon.
Sag. Oh, I'm a Sag.
I know. That's why we get along so well. But I'm a Cancer. But everyone thinks I'm a Leo.
You come off as a Taurus to me.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never gotten that.
Yeah, you're Taurus. Do you have Libra in your chart?
No. I'm like heavy Sag, heavy Cancer. Weird, right?
That makes no sense.
Anyway, I love clothes.
Okay. I was like, wait.
I don't know if it's because it's like I'm new to the space, so I'm like, I cannot believe I'm getting this like really expensive thing for free.
Yeah.
So like I'm not used to like gifting at all. Yeah. Like I'm still very excited about it.
You're not jaded like me. Like a package comes and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, no. Like when a package comes, it's still Christmas for me. I'm so excited. Like I just am so excited. That's why I post so many PR stories, because I'm like, I can't believe this.
But dude, but then if I walk into my building and there's not a package for me, I'm like,
it's just, it's the lay of the land. You get used to things, right?
One day it will stop and I don't know what's gonna happen for me.
It's like Christmas for me. I love it. So anytime my manager's like, hey, you want to be on this gifting like list, I'm like, yes,
please.
So anyway, I go to this gifting suite and I'm having the best time. They give me my list, they give Alicia Marie her hefty list, and we go to town. I'm shopping. And I pick out my stuff, you know, yada, yada, yada. I'm, like, going to all the little racks. And I'm not missing a rack. They're, like, they give us the brands. It's, like, this all these racks. And they're tall. So you can't really see people. It's, like, you're in a corn, like, field maze. But it's, like, clothes. And I'm not missing a rack. I'm going to all of them. And you get your sizes and yada, yada. So there's a girl who was also invited to the gifting suite there. I think she's an Instagram person.
She is.
I know her. Okay. I don't. But I recognized her from Instagram. So I was shopping like a few racks over. And like I said, you can't really see people because the racks are so high. And she's like down a few racks. But I could hear her and she's with a friend. And they're like shopping. And sometimes, you know, brands that are popular, they're missing sizes. So it's like they're missing the popular sizes, like, you know, a smaller size or a bigger size or whatever. They just have limited sizes. Yeah. So at this particular rack they were at, there was only one, I think, size 6 left. I'm, like, forgetting the actual story because I probably blacked it out in my head. It was so traumatizing. And by the way, I'm, like, a size 6. Like, true and true. Like, medium size 6.
I'm, like, since when is a size 6? Okay, finish this.
Whatever. Story. I'm, like, medium size 6. Sometimes if it's, like, an A. Goldie jean, I'm, like, a little bit smaller.
The A. Goldie!
If it's a girlfriend denim, I'm, like, way bigger. It's just, like...
That's how
we're the
is.
Same.
Yeah. A Goldie makes me feel very skinny. Girlfriend makes me feel the opposite.
Yeah.
So anyway, I am shopping and she like I can hear her and she's with her friend. And by the way, she's like totally the girl Alexa tells me later on that is like, you know, love who you are and the body you are in, like that, like, you know, that type of vibe, which like. Fork, yes, like I would hope everyone's like
yes,
that,
but
right?
Then I hope you don't act like this and then reciprocate.
So this is so funny. So just like know that as she's like about to say what she's about to say. So she like picks something off the rack. Mind you, I can't see her. I could just hear it. Picks something off the rack and she's like, oh, it's a size 6. She said something like that. She's like, oh, it's a size 6. She's like, well, I wish I could. Or what did she say? I'm messing it up.
She was like it was like, I wouldn't be caught dead.
Like, yeah, she was like, oh. As if, like, I would never. She
I would
was
never
like,
be a size 6.
Yeah, she was like, how embarrassing that there's like a size 6. Like, no one's gonna be able to fit into this. Like, oh, I would never. Like, literally out of Mean Girls, like, the what's the store in Mean Girls? It's like 246.
246. Yeah. Oh, you might wanna try Sears.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, she was like, Regina George. And it was the craziest thing. She literally, I mean, I wish I could remember the exact thing she said out of her mouth. It was something like, oh, like as if anyone here could fit in a size 6 or it was more so like, oh, like, ew, if you're size 6, you don't deserve anything. Like that was the vibe she was giving off. I'm not kidding you. Alicia and I were like, our size 6 asses were like, yeah.
A size 6 crickets. Is so small.
Like literally crickets. Like long story short, it was such a funny, interesting, and honestly sad. Like, I was like, all right, when do I wait for her to leave to go to this rack to get the last size 6? Because, like, I want it. I want the free thing.
Yeah, I mean, no.
But anyway, Alexa kind of retold the story. And it's so funny, like, the amount of people that texted me and were like, who was it?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then that were commenting, like, guessing who it was.
Oh, yeah.
So funny.
No one got it.
No one got it. Well, I don't think many people know who
this creator is, yeah.
At least I didn't really. I like, yeah. I knew of the name because like, I recognized her face, but I don't personally follow her.
I have so many other funny stories with her. But
really?
They're kind of incriminating, so I can't.
Okay.
The thing is that people think my influencer encounters are crazy. My celebrity encounters are crazier, but I'm never going to tell them.
Yeah, because that's scary.
Well, no, I just also think like influencers kind of like choose to an extent to like share so much of themselves. Like celebrities don't.
That is true.
So I want to respect that.
Yeah. I will say, though, TikTok has totally become a place of, like, exposing, like,
everyone.
Yeah. Like, celebrities, like, how they were when they bought their coffee and whatever. And I mean, I live for, like, a TikTok that's, like, exposing a celebrity. Like, I can't lie. Like, sometimes it's a guilty pleasure and I'm, like, watching it and I'm like, holy crow, that's crazy that they said that. But to some degree, like, I feel bad because not everyone has their best day all the time.
That's why I also and, don't like, do it is because I feel like with influencers, these are all people that like I at least they
know
me.
Yeah.
I know them. Mm-hmm. Like we actually had a real conversation, a real encounter mm-hmm. versus like even like friends or people that I know that are celebrities. I'm like, I wouldn't want to like share who they are in their life, I guess.
Especially
they didn't sign up
in
for
this
that.
Case, like being like a body positive like person and then like actually saying like that's just weird.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
That's weird. But I don't know. I do feel bad to some degree like some celebrities getting exposed like when they were like mean getting their coffee because like what if they just got told the worst news of their life? Like I try and always think
and
of
it's
that.
everyone's waiting for them to mess up.
Yeah.
They're waiting for them to be rude at coffee.
Yeah.
Like I even have one friend that I have one friend that I'm really close with and like they went through a lot the past couple of years and or the couple of years that we were really close. And, like, literally, like, would be like, gotta go get coffee. Let me, like, hey, like, just knowing that everyone's watching. And I'm like, that sucks. Because mm-hmm. if I'm having a, like, annoying day, mm-hmm. I can go to Erewhon and be like, thanks, whatever. Like, I can say nothing to the cashier mm-hmm. and they don't care. Mm-hmm. But if, like, I was Beyonce, they'd be like, Beyonce was so cold uh-huh. to me at Erewhon today. And it's like, they don't owe you being nice.
Yeah.
That's also kind of why I might be done with the influencer encounter soon is because I feel like for a period of time it was funny and it was like fun to poke fun of like influencer culture. And now it's kind of a thing where I'm like it kind of at this point is just becoming like gossipy and I don't want to be
a tea channel.
I see what you mean, and I agree. But also, I think out of all the people in the world, like, you are the most credible when it comes to telling.
Totally.
Because your intention isn't to be gossipy.
No.
It's to be like, listen to this ridiculous, hilarious story.
Totally.
That happened, and I know your intent. I know probably the rest of the world doesn't really, but like,
I think they do. I think people know it comes from a place of like, I really protect people's identities.
Yeah, that is true.
I really
and
try
you
to
battle
not
for
like,
people in the comments too.
Totally, I protect people like for sure. And like, if it's a good friend too, or if it's someone that's just really undeserving that didn't,
yeah,
like whatever. And most of it's like, most people don't ever guess who they are. They think they know in the comments, and I'm like, sometimes they get it right. Most of the time, they don't.
Got it. Yeah, I do think out of all the people in the world, you're the most like credible, and like, you tell it such in a funny, like, comedic way. It's just like,
I agree.
There is some truth to it, you know?
Totally. It's
so
fun.
Anyway, Alexa, it has been such a pleasure.
I have a present for you.
Oh my gosh. Wait, is this the double Chanel bag?
Yes, it is.
Where the fork did you get this? Show the camera.
I got it from The Real Real, except it kind of got destroyed a little bit.
It's so cool. Alexa, I feel like you're one of the people I would want to shop your closet.
My closet's kind of weak these days, but I think in a little bit it'll be better.
Is that a dreidel?
Yeah, this is for you.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm really good at the dreidel.
Wait, I love this. Did Sneaky Link give you this?
Oh, I got Shin. That's not good. Yeah, these are from Sneaky Link.
Wow, thank you. Wait, what is, I'm not familiar with
everything
means.
Dreidels, okay, spin it. I'll tell you what it does.
Okay.
You might have to spin it on your computer.
Okay. I'm nervous. Okay. Wait, why am I messing it up?
Yeah, because we're not all natural. That's the best one.
Okay.
So when you put all of the chocolate coins in the middle, I forgot what it's called. I'm brand new to dreidel. Brand new to dreidel. I would need to call him to specify it.
Sneaky Link.
Sneaky Link gave me the dreidels. So you put all
Sneaky Link.
The joke was that we met on Locks Club, Sneaky Link and I, but we didn't meet on Locks Club. So now there's just like this.
I see you with a Jewish guy.
I got Gimel.
For sure.
Well, as long as I keep getting dreidels, you know.
You love a Jewish guy, don't you?
Previous to Sneaky Link, did I date anybody else that was Jewish? One other guy that was Jewish.
I just think Jewish guys are so fun and they just have that like, I don't give a fork mentality. At least some of the Jewish guys I've like dealt with, like they're just like so like out like, I don't know, expressive and fun and outgoing. And I feel like that is you, too.
We
so,
love
like,
it.
You're a good match.
Well, I don't really know if it's, like, has to do with him being Jewish. But he's very much like me. Alicia and everyone met him the other day. You didn't come to the party.
I know. I'm so sad.
I was working, too, Sneaky. Like, and then as I was giving you the dreidel, I was like, oh, I have his inhaler in my purse.
Wow, that's how you know it's, like, a real. It's getting to be more than a Sneaky Link. Oh, hot.
Go. Hey, Sneaky Link, is it?
She's holding his inhaler right now.
Yeah.
Iconic.
He's probably going to, I don't know if he's going to make
it this far. Yeah, I hope he doesn't need it right now.
He has, this is his second inhaler.
Oh, okay.
I just like when my go places
in
with
case
him in emergencies.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, got it. Well, Alexa, thank you for the amazing gift.
You're welcome.
And thank you for coming on the podcast. You have been an absolute delight, and I would love to have you on again one day.
I would love to come, and when I launch a podcast, I would love for you to be a guest.
Yes. Wait, where can everyone follow you? Pimp yourself out, TikTok. YouTube, the whole nine yards.
On YouTube, I'm youtube.com/Alexa. On Instagram, I'm Alexa Losi, and my last name is loser, drop the R, add a Y instead. And then TikTok is Alexa.Losi, L-O-S-E-Y.
Amazing.
Loser, drop the R, add a Y.
Loser, drop the R, add a Y.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in and watching. Be sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel, Making Moves Pod, and follow me on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, @TKsJuicyPoles. Be sure to make someone's day this week. Peace.